All right. Before we jump in this morning, unfortunately, my wife didn't get to come with me. I know some of you probably still haven't met her yet, but she was running a fever before we left. And in fact, don't forget to feed the cats. Just talking to the camera there. I typically feed the cats in the morning. She typically feeds the dogs. So on the morning when I'm gone, she might have forgotten. If not, she remembered just now. And I'll pay for that when I get home. This morning, I'm excited about this sermon. I told you on Thursday, I don't know how many watched the Thursdays with Jared. I intentionally don't look at the stats on it because I don't want to know. I don't know how many of you watch it, but I told you on Thursday that because I talked about King Amaziah on Thursday, and I said I'm not going to talk about him on Sunday. I'm going to talk about something else. Well, that was a lie. I'm here. We're going to talk about King Amaziah because his life is he's so much us. He's so much just like us. Now, this guy ruled in Judah in the year he started in, you know, like roughly 796. So that was 2,800 years ago. And nothing has changed. We're just like this guy. And he had some greats and he had some fails. And we're going to read about him this morning. And it's just, I was reading this guy. And there's one part of this that just blows me away at his life. And then the rest of it is just, it's just so just like us. And so this morning, I hope to point out some things that where maybe we can avoid some of his pitfalls. That's really what this morning is about. So we're going to read in 2 Chronicles 25. Now, that's not something you go to a lot, but that's where we're going to be. The next time I'm in town, can we go and fix this situation? I hate this thing so much. I want my arm. I can't have my arms. All right. I'm going to come in early next time on like a Friday or whatever so we can handle this. All right. So 2 Chronicles 25. We're going to be reading about King Amaziah. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. His mother was Jehoadan from Jerusalem. Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. He did what was pleasing in the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. Isn't that us? Don't we do what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly? Here this guy is. How about this? How many of us woke up this morning just yearning for more Jesus? I gotta get more Jesus. How many of us are just foaming at the mouth for more Jesus every morning when we wake up? I'm guessing not many, right? I'm guessing we didn't wake up this morning like, I gotta have more Jesus. And that was this guy right here. That's how we live our lives, as just this. You know, for me, I've had times in my life where I woke up like that. I gotta get more Jesus. And I've had times where, like specifically after our first miscarriage, where I could care less about the Lord for probably 6 months of my life. It was a very dark time. I don't want to talk about that. But I've had times in my life where I was really, really passionate about the Lord. And I've had times in my life where I didn't care about the Lord and where I didn't live for him. And I've had times where I've just been sort of lackluster, you know, like, okay, you know, I love Jesus or whatever, right? And I'm guessing that Amaziah was the same way, and I'm guessing you're the same way too, right? But that has problems. That has problems. And Amaziah come into a lot of problems this way. Like, how many of us, we want to give some of our money to the church, but not all. Or we want to give our time to the Lord, but not all. Lord, that's my time. That's my TV time. Lord, that's my golfing time. Lord, that's my motorcycle time. Sorry, Joe. I know I listened to your thing last week, and now your two hobbies are stuck in the top of my head. Anyway, I'm like, that's my time, Lord. I can give you the afternoons. I can give you Sunday mornings. I can give you this time. But really, Lord, that's my Saturday morning, the Convoy of Hope. That was Saturday morning, and I can't give you Saturday morning. I go fishing or I do whatever. I can give you my money, but I'll give you my tithe. But anything above that, It's too much, Lord. It's too much. My skills. I can give you my abilities here, and I can give you my abilities here. But this one is for me. Or how about this? Lord, you can have my life here, and you can have my life here. But this area is my area. This spot is my secret, and we're gonna leave that alone. How many of us have that secret spot? Now, here's what you need to know. You're not hiding anything from God. At any point, you're not hiding it. So you don't have a secret from God. You might have some unconfessed sin. You might have some sin you really wish he wouldn't look at. You might have some side thing or whatever that your internet usage or your whatever it is. You might be trying to hide some of that, but that secret is not hidden. The Lord sees all that. Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. And if you don't give up these things and give your all, your time, your money, your skills, your secrets, if you don't give it all to the Lord, then you're going to wind up in some of the same pitfalls that he did. Hey, you're my son. Laying ears with his eyes shut. Lord have mercy. If anybody has got to pay attention, he's got to pay attention. All right. Revelation. We're going to go to Revelation. And I'm not going to read anything here that you've never heard before. Here it is. This message is to the church at Laodicea. Now, you've heard this before. And it might as well be written to Elston Family Church. Write this letter to the angel of the church of Elston Family. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I want to spit you out of my mouth. The Lord does not like our doing what's pleasing in his sight, but not wholeheartedly. The Lord doesn't like that. He wants it all. He wants all of us, our time, our skills, our everything, right? Now, let me just for a moment lay some grace on top of this condemnation. King David, right, was a man after God's own heart, and he still wound up murdering and adultering. Right, so King David is highly praised in the Bible, and yet this guy was still terrible. We would never hire King David here. This guy was a murderer. He was an adulterer. You see what I'm saying? And so, if I can, you need to see that even despite our failings, and we have many, even despite our failings, we can, like, the Lord still sees us for who we are. Right? We can still give ours, what we have, to God. Okay. But if we don't, then problems arise. So now I'm going to read kind of a big chunk here of scripture. So follow along with me in 2 Chronicles 25. When Amaziah was well established as king, he executed the officials who had assassinated his father. However, he did not kill the children of the assassins, for he obeyed the command of the Lord as written by Moses in the book of the law. Parents must not be put to death for the sins of their children, nor children for the sins of their parents. Those deserving to die must be put to death for their own crimes. So here we got an example of Amaziah doing it right. Right? He got bragged on by the Bible. How awesome would that be to do anything that gets bragged on by the Bible? That would be awesome. So Amaziah did it right. Okay, now Amaziah organized an army, assigning generals and captains for all of Judah and Benjamin. He took a census and found that he had an army of 300,000 select troops, 20 years old or older, all trained to use a spear and shield. He also paid about 7,500 pounds of silver to cereal. Guys, come fight for some Lucky Charms. Okay. He paid the silver to hire 100,000 experienced fighting men from Israel. But a man of God came to him and said, "Your Majesty, do not hire troops from Israel, for the Lord is not with Israel. He will not help those people of Ephraim." Okay, let me just a side note here. King Saul, the first king of Israel, had the whole kingdom. King David had the whole kingdom. And King Solomon had the whole kingdom. After King Solomon, the kingdom split into two chunks, Judah and Israel. Okay? Typically speaking, Israel had good kings. You know, kings like Amaziah, who were mostly good. Typically, Judah had bad kings. Just, you know, typically speaking. I mean, there's one guy, I can't remember his name now. Anyway, he was terrible, and he is in every time a new king comes along that's bad, it says this guy was bad like the first guy. Anyway, I can't remember his name now off the top of my head. But anyway, so that's why the kingdom is split into two chunks here. All right, so that's why Amaziah was going to hire some troops from Israel to go fight with him. All right, so but then, Your Majesty, do not hire troops from Israel. The Lord is not with Israel. He will not help the people of Ephraim. If you let them go with your troops into battle, you will be defeated by the enemy no matter how well you fight. God will overthrow you, for he has the power to help you or to trip you up. And as I asked the man, what about the silver that I paid to hire the army of Israel? The man of God replied, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. So Amaziah discharged the hired troops and sent them back to Ephraim. This made them very angry with Judah, and they returned home in a great rage. Then Amaziah summoned his courage, and led his army into the Valley of Salt, where they killed 10,000 Edomite troops from Seir, and captured another 10,000 and took them to the top of a cliff and threw them off, dashing them to pieces on the rocks below. So Amaziah's got a couple of wins here under his belt. First, he was bragged on by the Bible by doing by not killing the people that assassinated his father, by not killing their kids. And then he's got another win here. He goes and he hires some troops from Israel so that he can go into battle with this other country. The Lord comes to him and says, don't do that. It's a bad idea. So with 100,000 less troops, Amaziah draws up his faith, goes into battle, and wins. So there's a couple of great wins under his belt. And isn't that just like us? Don't we sometimes hit a faith challenge, and then we follow through, we do what we're supposed to do, and we catch a couple of wins. And that's awesome. That's awesome for us. Yay, us, right? We do that. We get the win sometimes, too. He wins the battle. Now, what really caught my eye here is what craziness happens next. So now we're going to be in verse 14. When King Amaziah returned from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought with him the idols taken from the people of Seir. He set them up as his own gods, bowed down in front of them, and offered sacrifices to them. This made the Lord very angry, and he sent a prophet to ask, why do you turn to gods who could not even save your own people from you? And my response to that is just, what? What? That doesn't even make sense. This guy went, he went into battle with 100,000 less troops because of his faith. He went into battle with 100,000 less. 100,000 is a lot. And he went in with 100,000 less, bolstered his faith up, won the battle, and then came home and gave the credit to another god. How does that doesn't even make sense to me. Like, how does he not, maybe the battle raged on for years and he just forgot. I have no idea, but this doesn't make any sense. But what it does remind us of is us. We do the exact same thing. We go through our faith challenges, and then what do? We give the credit to who? To us. In America today, we're not bowing down to idols. At least I would hope we're not. There's probably a few in America that do. But in America today, it's so selfish. And so we give credit just to us. So this is so, like, this hit me pretty hard this week, because my wife and I are just like this. We read a Dave Ramsey book, 17 years ago or something like that. And we buckled down on our finances, and now we're in a pretty good shape financially, right? And we pat ourselves on the back all the time. Oh, good job, us. We're in a good financial spot because we made all these good decisions. So I took the Lord's blessing and I claimed it all for myself. We made wise choices. I can't make wise choices without the Lord, and you can't either. All the time I take credit for, I go through something and then I give all the credit to myself. Good job, Jared. Man, you really handled that right. And that's a fail. That's a fail. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And they went, and they were cleansed of their leprosy. That's a miracle right there. They were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God," and he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." I wonder what the other 9 were thinking. I bet the other 9 were thinking, "Jesus came into our village one day, and I had the faith to run and show myself to the priest. I had the faith. I did it. Jesus told me to, and I got up and ran." You know, it's like that song we sang this morning, and I do not mean to poo-poo on that song, wherever Ron is. I'm not trying to poo-poo on that song. But if we ran into the light, it's because God gave us the strength to run. If these lepers went to the priest, it's because God gave them the faith to run. We take all the credit for ourselves. This is so us here. This was 2,800 years ago. And still, we're still the same as this guy, taking all the credit for ourselves. So now let me try to turn this around. Again, let me take some of this condemnation and lay some grace on top of it. The last two verses of chapter 25. After Amaziah turned away from the Lord, there was a conspiracy against his life in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But his enemies sent assassins after him, and they killed him there. They brought his body back on a horse, and there he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. So what you need to know about this is that despite his failings, the Bible still honors him. Okay, now there were some kings that once they got killed, they got thrown on the side of the road. This guy, despite his not following the Lord wholeheartedly, despite his obvious failings, the Bible still honors him. Because some kings didn't get buried with their ancestors. Some kings didn't. This guy was a direct descendant of David, and he got buried with his ancestors. So, despite our obvious failings, right, we can still be honored by the Lord. Look, let's read on in chapter 26, verse 1. Is this in order? The sound guys are going to fuss me if it's not in order. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. Uzziah was Amaziah's son. He reigned for 52 years. His mother was something from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Now here we read about a couple of goods and some big bads from Amaziah, and yet the Bible still says, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Let's go back to the very first verse. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. Here's this half-hearted, half-winner, half-loser guy. And God still gave him 29 years. Look at the grace that is laid down on him. Look at the grace that just washes over this guy's life. Look at the grace that washes over us. Right? We fail all the time. We are not living our full, passionate life for Jesus. And yet, still today, God lays his grace down on us. And we still can, despite my pride and my financial choices, the Lord has still blessed me and continues to bless me. Despite the fact, I didn't even realize how prideful I was until I read this. Despite that, the Lord still blesses me. What great news is that for us? What great news is that? That we can be half-hearted, and yet the grace still lays on us. Now, if he had been wholehearted, I'm betting he wouldn't have made the same mistakes. I'm betting he wouldn't have brought these idols back from Seir and worshiped them. I bet he wouldn't if he'd been wholehearted. I bet we, you and I in this room, could avoid some of the same mistakes if we would be wholehearted all the time. And so that's what I got. I'm going to bring the band back up. Here's what I'd like to do this morning. I want to give you the chance to lay your sins out at the altar. Because you got them. You got them. And if you're in that zone where you don't really care about the Lord, if you're in that space, then now is it, because look, if you're here and you don't care about the Lord, then this is a stupid hobby. Church is a stupid hobby, because all I'm doing is just like laying guilt on you, and you don't care about Jesus, then why put up with the guilt? Go ride a jet ski on Sunday morning, right? If this is a hobby for you, it's dumb. Stop doing this. But this is a moment for us to say, God, I've had enough half-hearted. I've had enough half-hearted. It's time to give you the whole heart. And now is also the time for you to lay down those sins that you're trying to keep secret. I know you got them. I know you think the Lord doesn't see them. I know we don't think that. Logically, we know. We know that God sees them. But we just want to put it out of our minds. This is our moment to not put it out of our minds. This is your moment to deal with the stuff that you're dealing with. It is time to lay down your half-heartedness and give it all to the Lord. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you and us. I'm going to pray that the Lord convicts your heart. And I'm going to pray you come down here and give your all to Jesus. Give your all to Jesus. If you don't know God and none of this makes any sense to you, if you're just here like, and Jesus is not, you've never met Jesus for the first time, his grace washes over all your sins. All your sins. And he's here to meet you. And you don't have to take away, you don't have to walk away feeling like a little bit better. You can walk away feeling amazing. You can walk away feeling different for the rest of your life. Because even though you're still a sinner, Jesus died on the cross for you. While we were still sinners, Jesus died. So this is your moment. So I'm going to pray for you, and we'll give it, you know, a piece of a song. And I pray God moves in your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you this moment. God, I know you're dealing with hearts out there. I know you're dealing with my heart. I know you're dealing with hearts out there. God, I pray that you would give us the courage, the passion, the love to move forward in our relationship with you and to put aside half-hearted and to move into wholehearted, Father. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.